Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio and now on Instagram Live. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop on calories, carbs, macros, anything, so you can easily get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. Hi, Carly. She's saying good morning on Instagram. And hi, Calabria from Australia. Well, hello from Los Angeles. If you would like to call in and talk with me today, the number is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. Or if you are on Instagram, you can post a question, because I would really love to hear what is on your mind, what is weighing on you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, and any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food. The real problem is what is eating at you. Hi, Kylene. Josh is saying he eats because he is, very depleted and empty. Oh, looks like we have a caller. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Nina.
Good morning, Carly Gash. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay because I'm not doing anything. I'm just laying in my bed, so I'm very happy. It's my favorite thing to do in the world, doing nothing.
Well, I'm glad you're I'm glad you're calling the show. What can I help you with today?
Dr. Nina, I wanted to ask you again and deepen this site of liberating myself from eating disorder using your tool, psychoanalysis, in your books. So I want to talk about sabotaging, and we've talked about it several times. And you helped me to figure out that I sabotage my progress so I don't become successful. And this way I keep attachment to my family, who is basically not successful.
Let me just reiterate that for people who haven't been listening to the show regularly. So we figured out that Carly Gash often sabotages her success in, I like to say, liberating yourself from binge eating, stress eating, emotional eating. I don't like recovery. I think you recover from a bad breakup. You liberate yourself from eating issues. You free yourself for good. That is the point. But Carly Gash was realizing that she would get to a point and she would sabotage herself. And one thing that we talked about, and we've talked about on the show, is how she unconsciously, because we're so often motivated by what is hidden from us, unconsciously felt like she had to be struggling just like her family. She had to, in the family way, was we struggle. We don't have enough. We're upset and angry and failures. And so she would keep herself, unbeknownst to herself, kind of keep herself in that mode. Is that about... do it? And one way to always do that is to never feel good enough about your weight, or to feel like a failure when it comes to dealing with food, weight, body image, all of that stuff. Does that about sum it up, Carly Gash?
Yes. Thank you so much. You said it beautifully. So I am sabotaging, like I'm currently at the stage where I only sabotage like nonstop. So like I lose 1-2 pounds, I immediately binge, or like I just binge nonstop. And then yesterday I was thinking about it and I'm like keeping this attachment. Things got like callers know that I've been going through like mother-father separation recently, and I was thinking, oh gosh, I won't be able to do this. But no, you know, it sinked in. I grieved it. It was painful. But right now I feel pretty liberated. I don't feel I have to be attached to my parents who never loved me, never wanted me. I don't have to keep this attachment, like, since it's not working and hurting me. So it's possible. But now I'm sabotaging. And I was thinking about this, keeping belonging to my family by sabotaging myself and, like, underplaying, underachieving. The good thing that recently I stopped thinking that, oh, my God, I'm an immigrant in America. I will never make it because I wasn't born here and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know many things. I started thinking, oh, well, I've been pulling it out when I was 8. I've been working. I will make it here, too. So it's just me being myself and turning on those, you know, entrepreneurial mode. You know, me, turning on me.
I just want to interject and acknowledge that, because when you change your mindset, everything changes. When you tell yourself, "Oh, I can never succeed," then of course you're never going to succeed, because you've got that mindset, and you'll either sabotage yourself, or you'll carry that.
I set up myself for failure in the very beginning. Not even started.
Or you, and I don't mean necessarily only you, Carly Gosh, people will carry that sort of defeated air with them, or they either won't try, or they'll try, but they don't think that they can succeed. So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I'm glad that you are bringing up the idea that when you change the way you think, you really change your reality. It's like that, the little engine that could. I don't know if you ever read that in Kazakhstan, but here I read it here. Yeah, I think I can.
Yeah.
When you think you can, you could do amazing things. When you think you can't, you can't. Who is it who said, whether you think you can or you think you can't,
you're right.
Henry Ford, I believe. A total racist, but that was a great quote.
Yeah, I mean, I personally use great quotes and quotes and successes of people, disregarding if they're racist or not. I believe that every person is good at something, and I can always learn, even from, like, people who maybe I don't share values with. But we can always learn from each other and for better.
So, Carly Gosh, what is it that you'd say you're struggling the most with today?
So, not today, yesterday, I just figured out that I sabotage it, but I realized that it's not only the bond with family which is keeping me. And yes, it's like 50% of it, and it's very strong so far. Yet, I'm working on that. But I noticed that how my aunts were employing me when I was a kid, because I was essentially working since I was 8. In a family, like, not business, but we were selling stuff on street market. So I've been working, and they've been sending me to, like, buy goods in another city with full of cash. It was very dangerous, I should say. The bus could, like, flip. It was snowy mountain roads where it just could flip, and we could all die or robbed or, I don't know, raped. And I've been doing this when I was 16, 15, yeah, 16, pretty young. They never do it to their kids, though, now, you know. And I noticed that I was reflecting about my life with them. They were never giving a thing about me. They just wanted me to keep functioning to the point where they can employ me. Like, let's feed her. But he feed her not nutritious food, but just enough so she could walk and talk and, like, either work for us or take care of our kids. You know, so, like a slave thing.
So you felt used. You felt used, and you were put in danger. And you know what? I want to say something. When you feel as if other people do not care about your well-being, do not greatly care about your well-being, then it's hard for you to be concerned with your own well-being. We end up treating ourselves the way we are treated. If we're neglected or abandoned, it becomes easier for us to neglect and abandon ourselves. And often we don't realize it. We say, I hated how they treated me, without realizing that you may be doing the same to yourself, ignoring your needs, ignoring your wants, not taking good care of yourself just because you were not taken good care of.
Yes, and that's what I essentially wanted to say, that I noticed that, oh my God, it's just the way I treat myself is totally the learned way they treated me. That's it. I never gave it a thought or something. I was just by inertia doing whatever treatment they showed me, basically, not even questioning, hey, is it like, do I worth it? I'm not worth it, or I don't want that. It's just they trained me like a dog, because I've been watching recently a lot of videos about dogs, and I'm like, wait a second, but we are conditioned and keep conditioning ourselves the same way we train our dogs. So I was basically trained to fill their needs, and this is how I carry myself in life. And it's hurting me, it's painful, it's basically endangering my life. So once I realized it yesterday, I said, oh, that's where sabotage is coming from. I do exactly the same. I just feed myself to the point where I function. Then I binge, eat sugar, which I should not in my health condition. And then I just make it so I can just walk. Okay, if it hurts, okay, if I have pain in my body. But can I work? Yes. Can I make some money? Yes. This kind of like using and slavering and...
So, Carly, gotcha.
Using approach.
Now that you have realized this, what are you willing to do differently?
Now I'm scared. I'm like, man, like, the good thing that I realized is, first of all, it's very sad. I feel very sad. It's painful. I cannot stand the fact that I've been doing it myself to myself without knowing it. I feel guilty. But the good thing that I realized, and now I am scared, like, will I be able to take care of myself the way I want to? Or do I have that capacity? Will I be able to?
Okay, so you're not
handle
saying...
it.
You're not saying, what if I can't, but it's implied. So will I be able to take care of myself is fear. It's basically a, what if I can't take care of myself? What if I can't do this? What if, and what is the antidote to what if, which is fear about the future?
What is?
So you've got to take it to, instead of what if I can't do this, you have to look at it like, what can I do today to do something different? How can I today, in this moment, in the next 5 minutes, and break down today into minute by minute, what can I do right now to be good to myself? What choice can I make today? What choice can I make right now to take care of myself? Oh, I've made the choice to call Dr. Nina. That's a good choice. What can I do when I hang up the phone? What can I do for myself? So instead of being in a place of wondering, you're in a place of action.
It's like establishing a new company. I basically will build old processes again from the very beginning. If my company was not built correctly in the very beginning, then I just have to rebuild it, I guess. I guess if that's the process, retraining, rebuilding, finding. Hey, gosh, it's going to be so long and laborious, but I don't kind of have a choice, so I'll just go and do it little by little. And Dr. Nia, I just want to say that this thing that I could say goodbye to my mother in my head, not completely yet, of course, but at least realizing that, oh, my God, this is so liberating. I want to encourage all people out there, if you guys are struggling and you think that, oh, I will somehow go with my life, not dealing with parent separation because it's scary and blah, 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 please do it. It's just so amazing. Feels so good.
Thank you, Carly Gash. And I'm, as always, happy to hear of your insights and your progress. And just today and every day, don't think, what if I can't do it? Or what if I can't? Just think, what can I do for myself? How can I treat myself differently right now? And I know you can do it, right? When you think you can, you do it. I think I can.
It doesn't have to be big. I can start small, right? Because I feel like big might be overwhelming, maybe. Like little by little, maybe.
You know, nobody sets out to run a marathon by running a marathon. You set out saying, you say, I'm going to run half a mile, and then a mile, and then a mile and a half, and then 2 miles, and you keep going. And eventually you run the marathon. But nobody has ever decided to run a marathon and boom, they go out and they run 26 miles. So let yourself have that first step.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, when kids learn to walk, they go from crawling to taking a couple of steps to falling. Nobody ever says to their kid, at least I hope they don't, oh my God, baby, you fell. You're never going to walk again. You tried to walk. You went a couple of steps. You fell down. That's it. It's over. You're never walking again. That's what we tell ourselves. We try. We fail. And then we say, oh, well, clearly I can't do that. No, we got to do what we say to babies. Get up. Keep doing it. You got this.
I like it.
So baby yourself, Carly Gash. And
okay.
You got this. You can do this.
Yeah, no, I'm very grateful, honestly, for being in this situation and left alone. Because I could imagine, like, if I was surrounded by this dysfunctional family, but which was, like, half functional, I think that's the worst scenario. Like, if I'm left by myself with this, there is only one way, work on myself, that's it. I kind of don't have option. But I think about people who are, like, half functioning there, and they never even question if everything is all right. And I've seen people like that. They like
you are questioning it. You are questioning it, and that's what matters. Stay with you. What you can do. And call me next week. Let me know how you're doing.
I will, definitely. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too, Carly Gash. Happy Thanksgiving. Since you're in America now,
happy Thanksgiving. Yes, I forgot about it. Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay, bye for now.
Okay.
Josh is saying that he eats because he feels... Whoop, another caller.
Hello. Hi, this is Christina. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you, but I can kind of hear myself in the background. Was the show on?
Yes, it was. Hopefully I sound better now. I stopped it. Is that any better?
I no longer hear myself, which is a good thing, but I hear you, which is a very good thing. Welcome back.
Thank you. And I enjoyed listening to Carly Gash. I'm so happy she calls in every week because I have a similar some similarities with family situations. But I actually am calling about a new situation that's popped up in my life, and I wanted to sort of, it's twofold. I'm very proud of myself for not turning to food over this situation through a multitude of things that I try that you suggest in your books, including positive self-talk and to eat when I'm hungry and stop when I'm full and not to go to foods that I, you know, seemingly placed bans or restrictions or rules on. It really freaking works. But I'm now left with this. And I wrote it down so that I can explain the situation. Hopefully it won't take up too much time explaining it. So I want to know how to deal with debilitating anxiety, fear, and depression regarding my husband going to visit his dying parents via the plane cross country for Christmas. We know we have COVID. His family supports it. My sister-in-law is a PhD organic chemist, and she's a lieutenant commander with the U.S. Department of the Health and Human Services, and says he should be fine if he takes precautions. It's hard for me to argue with her because of her background. She says 2 weeks of quarantine when he gets back is excessive. even though we've read otherwise and heard otherwise. And he's also not quarantining. His parents don't seem to care that he's not going to quarantine once he gets there. The family is disappointed I'm not going. I'm fearful of him and me dying, or he and if he gets COVID, and or having lingering health issues if we do survive it. And I don't want him to resent me if I put my foot down and he can't see his dying parents. And I don't want him, I don't want to resent him if we suffer some bad problems or get COVID. We've talked thoroughly through this, and I've not gone to food. I mentioned that I'm very happy, even though despite, you know, I told you in other calls, I suffered debilitating neurological and muscular effects after a bad accident, and that's actually going very well right now. I'm doing much better. But it's been a long road. I'm considering seeing a psychiatrist because the anxiety is so crippling. And husband and I, we've had long talks regarding his and my feelings on this. You know, we've been married happily from a lot of it for over 20 years. So that is where I'm at. What the heck do I do?
Oh, Christina, first of all, I really feel for you.
Thank you.
And I think that it's a really difficult situation that you're in. I want to say that the what did you say she was, an organic chemist?
PhD organic chemist.
Organist. Mm-hmm. Well, unless she works for the CDC, she is not the expert. The CDC has been very clear, or forget the CDC. If you don't trust the CDC because of Trump and all of that, look at the World Health Organization. Look at what people in Europe are being told. Look at the fact that, look at what's going on. I just heard from someone I know in China, and that person said life is back to normal. And that's because people did the things that we don't seem to want to do.
Right.
So I want to just normalize your anxiety, because it's of course you feel this way, and it's a very difficult situation. I think that, you know, having tests, can he get a rapid test?
Yes, he will be coming back. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Can they get a rapid test?
They have cancer, the two of them, at different stages, and now it's really bad. Yes, they're constantly being tested, the two of them.
Okay.
But it's the airports and, you know, the plane and all that fun stuff, which I'm like, I'm not going. I don't care what you think.
Yes, it is a risk. It is a risk. So, I mean, it just is. Mm-hmm. It is a risk. Mm-hmm. So you have underlying health conditions that you've shared on this show. You mm-hmm. cannot take that risk. If he takes that risk, he needs to quarantine, and, you know, organic chemist aside, 2 weeks is what they're saying, 2 weeks. And
yeah.
if that's what he wants to do, then there's action consequence. Instead of thinking of right or wrong, action consequence. If you go on a plane to visit your parents and you come back on a plane to see your wife, who's got an underlying autoimmune issue and as well as other issues, then the action is followed by the consequence, which is you've got to go somewhere for 2 weeks and not be around your wife. That it's just that simple. And that will alleviate your anxiety. Right.
Well,
minimize it.
I shouldn't be laughing. That is such a good. Okay. That was such a good example of a totally inappropriate laugh. This is not fucking funny. Sorry. This is not funny. It's very stressful and it's very scary. And I'm insisting he does the 2 weeks. I said, you're staying at Extended Stay America by LAX, you know. And he's actually supportive of that, but it's sad because I'm the one that's saying you have to do this, that, and the other. And it's like the rest of the family is just, it's like out the window. It's so bizarre and messed up to me. And it's sort of heartbreaking and it's very sad. And I feel more sadness than anger, which the anger is there too. And I appreciate all of your work because I would have not even allowed myself to feel these feelings or to feel as if I have any say in this. Because like Carly Gash, you know, I can self-sabotage. I can suppress what I truly feel. And I will just say, oh my gosh, it is super painful. And I think anxiety is maybe it's more the feelings we use. I use anxiety as like this general term, but it's absolutely scared, sadness, fear. And I'm assuming that's the right track of how I'm thinking.
Okay. So then you've got to, again, stay with what reality is. The reality right. is that you will be safe if he gets off mm-hmm. a plane, quarantines yeah. for 2 weeks at Extended Stay America, takes precautions and takes a test or two before he comes home. You will be yeah. safe. Now, maybe yeah. you have some thoughts and feelings about the fact that he's going, even though he's in this impossible situation. Maybe you have some yeah. thoughts and feelings about that are getting kind of like detoured into or displaced into anxiety. Maybe you have other reactions about this other than anxiety.
Right. And I appreciate I'm really, no one has told me, oh, if he takes this, that, and the other, he will be safe. Because again, his sister, when she says, oh, he'll be safe, and then she's not following these protocols, that is very helpful. Yes, that we'll have done everything we can do, and I agree, it should be quite safe. It's going to be hard. I mean, it's going to turn into 3 weeks without him. I don't think I've been separated that long for him in 20 years. So I'm trying to look at it. And again, I know I want to feel my sadness, but I'm also thinking like I'm strong and independent and just fine. Thank goodness I have my healing with the neurological issues. Thank goodness. That's awesome. And by the way, that is liberating and very wonderful, just feeling so much better physically and being better physically. So yes, your words of wisdom were very, very helpful. That is, and I'm just continuing. If I continue to feel sad or anxious or upset, right, it's a lingering situation of feeling, oh, maybe I feel ignored or not, taken care of or not because of the other surrounding issues. I guess I'm rambling, but I think you answered everything that I...
Oh, no, you're not rambling. And I think that the moment that you accused yourself of rambling is the moment you got in touch with mm-hmm. what you don't want to get in touch with. And just one clarification, yeah. what I said was,
yeah.
you will yeah. be safe. You will be safe.
Yeah. Okay, then, yes. So that's the other thing. I'm freaked out over, him as well. You see what I'm saying? Like that's,
well,
does the wife put the foot down? I mean, I don't know.
So, and ultimately, even if you put your foot down, you might have feelings about that too, because
right.
you don't want to do that. And he might, you want him to want to not to make a choice. Maybe you want him to make a different choice.
If I were in his shoes, he might be. I might want to make the right choice. The his choice. You see what I'm saying? Like you said, it's just a terrible situation. Period.
It's a choice between in the Odyssey. Odysseus goes between down the river, and he goes on one side of the river is Charybdis, which is a whirlpool, and on the other side is Scylla, which yeah. is a five-headed.
I love that story.
Yes, the five-headed beast that can like each of the five heads can come and like bite someone's head off, literally. And so right. it's like, do you go to the whirlpool where you could be pulled down to the bottom of the ocean, or do you risk having your head bitten off? Literally, right. It's a choice between two terrible things.
Right.
So now he does, in fact, survive the journey. And so will you? You will be safe. He has to make a terrible choice. There's a lot of misinformation out there, and people think they know, and they are saying, "Oh, it's okay. You you don't have to quarantine for that long." Yes, you do. So recognizing
right.
what feel right for you, and then you start to accuse yourself of rambling right when
yes,
you were getting to what were you talking about? Do you remember what you were saying right before you accused yourself of rambling?
I believe I was trying to acknowledge and honor my feelings and not labeling anger and fear as bad.
And you were talking about feeling neglected, feeling
not safe, not taken care of.
Not taken care of. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And my sister, she works for the Department of Health and CDC. I grew up in Atlanta. I'm so familiar with CDC. But because of that, and then her unit actually has been deployed multiple times over the U.S. to help COVID situation. Like they've had to do, and of course, she's come back and been fine. And so I think there's some cognitive dissonance going on in there. But, you know, we all have it no matter how intelligent one is, correct? I mean, and she's a big family person where it's all about always visiting sick relatives. Like, that's her thing. I've known her for over 20 years. And, like, you know, so I actually understand where she's coming from. However, it's still hurtful, you know, to be ignored when I have a science degree myself, for goodness sakes. I know how to – I understand a lot of these white papers and the numbers and things of that nature. So, yeah, it's a tough situation, but, wow, I mean, yeah, it's feelings. It's a challenge, even no matter how much practice one has. It's life. So thank you so much. You've absolutely made me feel better.
Yes, I'm glad I have. Christina, when you feel this debilitating anxiety, ask yourself, you know, if it was not just anxiety, what else might you be feeling? Because the idea of feeling not taken care of, the idea of not being with your husband for 3 weeks, you know, that's going to bring up thoughts and feelings. And there's not necessarily a right and a wrong here. Yeah. Although I think that we're being fairly clearly told it is wrong to get on a plane. But
yes,
and yet a
agreed.
Lot of
you and I are the same on our thoughts about COVID.
Yes. And as you know, I, you know, lost someone very close to me in April, someone I cared about very much in April of COVID. And I know, and this person was super careful, by the way, very careful.
Mm. So I didn't know that part.
Very careful. Mm. And I believe it's someone that she knew who wasn't as careful that might have given it to her, but we don't know. We'll never know. The point is that this is something you got to take very, very seriously and, you know, have the courage of your convictions. And even if he makes the choice to go, which is, it's such a terrible choice for him, Scylla and Charybdis, it still affects you, and you get to be affected by his choice and not just be understanding. Just one more thing about the, well, so-and-so flew and they didn't get COVID, or I went to a party and no one got COVID, so it's okay. The analogy I like to make is someone who goes and drinks a lot at a restaurant, an outdoor restaurant, of course, and drinks a lot and drives home drunk and nothing happens. They don't get in a car accident. They don't hurt themselves or anybody else. Everything is okay. And then they say, oh, see, it's okay to drive drunk. No, we don't. You drove drunk and you got lucky, but you might not get lucky the next time. Do you want to take that risk? That is why we actually have laws in this country that say you can't drink and drive. It's not about freedom. It's about what's right.
Right, right. And safe for yourself and others.
Others.
Really important. And we've worked so hard. Like, his company has him working at home, like, this whole time, probably into next year. So, like, it's slightly painful. It's painful just to, we've worked so hard and been so consistent. And I think you would be like, wow, you guys have done a really good job, you know, isolating and doing what you need to do. However, you know, it's the parental in-law situation is they are, I mean, one of them is stage 4 colorectal cancer. I mean, I can just leave it at that. It's not good. So I appreciate everything. And I do want to just reiterate again, thank you for all of your teachings, because while I had the 2 years of recovery from injury, neurological and musculoskeletal, wow. I mean, I really got to focus more on recovering an injury than on food. And I will say sometimes when you have something that serious, it was sort of easier than I thought to sort of push the food aside and be like, I got to focus on this. I know that's not solving anything, but it was good to at least have some tools to be able to do that. So thank you so much.
You are very welcome, Christina. And I just want to say I sympathize with your situation. Just take your own side, allow yourself to have the thoughts and feelings that you have, and then find a way, you know, to bridge the difference. If you're away for 3 weeks, you may not be able to see him, but your safety is everything. So you're just going to have to do a lot of FaceTime and Zoom, but know that it will be over. It has an end point.
Absolutely.
So that might help.
It helps tremendously, as always, Dr. Nina. I hope you have a lovely Thanksgiving. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Oh, such a difficult situation. I really feel for her and everyone in that position. So Josh is saying that he eats because he feels depleted and empty. And of course, when you feel depleted and empty, when you had, hi, Mary from Australia. He says it's not the same as normal hunger. No, it is not the same as normal hunger. It's symbolic. When we feel an emptiness within, when we feel something missing, when we feel a void in ourselves, in our souls, really, food can symbolically fill the void. We can't fill up on what we really need. Maybe that is connection, love, whatever it is, a sense of achievement, or, you know, whatever it is that people are hungry for. If you can't get that, you can symbolically bring in food. And so, you know, think about, Josh, what are you hungry for? What is it that is missing in your life? What is the empty space within? These are hard questions to think about. It is much easier to think about what you're eating than what is eating at you. It is hard to think about the emptiness within. It's hard, but it is necessary, because if you just go on diet after diet after diet after diet, or focus on, you know, this eating plan or that eating plan or whatever, you're focusing on the wrong thing. You're focusing on what you're eating instead of why. But when you get to the underlying why, and you change the way that you relate to yourself, everything with food changes too. If you are symbolically fulfilled, you don't need food for that purpose. Okay. And to that end, I'm going to bring up a question that Tony asked. Tony is a member of my Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community on Facebook. If you are not a member, please join. By the way, hi, Jenny on Instagram. So Tony asks, besides Overeaters Anonymous, besides OA, what are the best ways to overcome compulsive overeating? Okay, here's the thing. I think OA is the worst way to overcome compulsive overeating. The absolute worst. It does not help. It does not help. It puts the focus on what you are eating and not why. It creates shame. How shameful it is to go in and say, my name is Nina and I am a compulsive overeater. Ew, ew, ew. If I were in the studio, I would have like my large buzzer sound right now. No. That doesn't help. That's shaming. That makes you feel bad about yourself. What really helps is not to focus on what you are eating. What helps is to focus on why you are eating. Otherwise, it is just plucking weeds and hoping that they don't grow back. You've got to get to the root of those weeds in order to be free forever. Because it's not about weight loss. Because weight loss is often an outcome of liberating yourself from binge eating, but not always. Not everybody who binge eats is overweight. And not everybody who's overweight is a binge eater, by the way. It's about really liberating yourself from the thinking about it all the time, the feeling bad about it all the time, the waking up and going, okay, I'm going to be good. I'm not going to eat this, and I am going to eat that. And then, you know, invariably you eat something that you think you shouldn't, and then you feel bad about yourself. And then, I'm going to see people in a world in the future when we can actually see each other and not be afraid. Or I'm going to see people on Zoom and they're going to see that I gained weight. You know, people tell me this all the time. I don't want anyone to see me. I want to free you from all of that. I don't want you to wake up and think about any of that. Again, I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. It is too hard to every day wake up and go, okay, I'm going to be good, and tell yourself what you're going to eat and think about what people are thinking about you and your body and try to dodge criticism while you're criticizing yourself. I want you to be able to wake up and think about, what am I going to do today? What do I have that's fun to look forward to? What do I have to do today? I want you to go into your closet and say, what do I want to wear today? Not, what do I wear to make myself, you know, feel less fat, or, you know, what's going to fit today? No, go and feel good. OA does not help you with that. OA makes you feel bad about yourself. And I know I'm going to get a lot of people from OA who are going to say, oh, how can you disparage OA? It's helped me so much. Okay, maybe so. That's good. Not everybody, not everybody has the same experience. There's more than one way to the mountaintop. But in my experience of nearly 20 years of treating binge eating disorder, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, most people do not benefit from OA. Most people actually end up feeling worse about themselves. So those are my true thoughts. I don't hold back. The best way to overcome compulsive eating is to stop dieting, identify why you are eating, and find new ways to respond to yourself and address those hidden reasons that you sabotage, which Carly Gash and I discussed a couple of them earlier. There are many reasons for sabotage. Fear of success. Some people think if they're going to be successful, it's going to be taken away from them. Some people are afraid of failure. So that if you succeed, if you lose weight, you're just going to gain it back again, feel like a failure. Some people don't feel like they deserve success, somehow that they're not really worth it, so they can't let themselves be successful. Some people are afraid of objectification, be turning into a thing and being related to as a body, not a person. Other people are afraid of expectations. Oh, now I've gotten to this weight, or when I get to this weight, I'm going to have to do all these things, because they've been waiting for so long. They put their lives on hold until they reached the number on the scale, and now there's all this pressure. Now, those are all reasons for sabotage. Where are we on time? Okay. All right, so guys, I want to talk about, let's see how far I get, about 10 ways to feel better about your body, even if you're not at your ideal weight. So you all know Lizzo, right? You know Lizzo? Amazing, amazing singer, musician, and let us say she is a person of size. And I got to tell you, I just watched Lizzo on David Letterman's show, and it was a great interview, and I realized Lizzo and I have a lot in common. And you might be thinking, what are you talking about? What can you possibly have in common with Lizzo? And by the way, anyone who's ever heard me sing, including my kids, will tell you I, on the surface, have nothing in common with Lizzo. But here's the thing about Lizzo. As I said, she is a woman of size, and she wears leotards, and she owns the stage like nobody else. And when people talk negatively about her body, here's what she says. She calls herself a bad bee. Bad bitch. That's what she says. She says, I'm a bad bee. And I don't know how many women of size out there are running around in leotards in front of thousands of people and calling themselves bad bees. But Lizzo sure is. She has all the confidence in the world. And not only is she confident in her own skin, she's, you know, she talks about wanting to improve herself, wanting to be the best version of herself she can be. That doesn't necessarily, by the way, mean weight loss, but it can. Basically, she is bold and she is confident and she is amazing. So how does this relate to me? How am I like Lizzo? How does this relate to you? Well, I got to tell you, people are constantly trying to put me in a box too. They say I would look more professional if I wore conservative suits, cut my hair, looked a little less glam. They got a problem with my lashes. So here's what I say. You know what? I can be smart, professional, competent, and stylish. Yes, I can. These things are not mutually exclusive. So Lizzo is what a rock star looks like. And this is what a psychoanalyst looks like. Thank you very much. So I'm going to get started on my 10 inspirational tips that will make you just as confident as me and Lizzo. I am not going to get very far because we only have a few minutes, but I'm going to finish them up next week. So, okay, so here's my first tip. Loving your body only when it's in perfect shape is like loving your kids only when they behave perfectly. What? Love is unconditional. And that includes your love, appreciation, and care for you. Also, your dress size is no more important than your shoe size. Believe it or not, there was a time in China when foot binding was a status symbol. When little girls were, I don't know, like two or three, or maybe from birth, just some, no, it can't be from birth. But when they were very little, their feet would be bound so that they would not grow. So that the smaller the foot, the greater the beauty. That's what people in China considered at the time. And hopefully in the future, people will look back and think that our desperate drive to be thin is just as crazy as foot binding. Tip number three. Babies and toddlers have zero judgment on their bodies. When's the last time you heard a toddler make fun of her body? In the history of all time, no baby has ever been like, oh, I feel fat. And either should you, or I look fat. And either should you. Babies just enjoy their bodies. Toddlers, little kids, they enjoy their bodies. They run around. They feel good. They're not thinking about their bodies. They're thinking about what they're doing and how they're doing. So here's the good news. What you learned can be unlearned. You learn this way of relating to yourself. You learn this way of relating to food. You learn this way of relating to your body. You can unlearn it. So try focusing on what you like about yourself instead of what you don't like. Okay. More tips will come for you next week. Have a happy Thanksgiving if you're listening in the States. If you're not, if you're listening elsewhere, just have a happy Thursday. Have a great week. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Dr. Nina Show. I am here every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific here on LA Talk Radio, or you can listen. Oh, and I'm also on Instagram at dr.nina.psychoanalyst. Join me on Instagram. Join in. shoot me a comment if you're watching the show. You can also listen later on Apple Podcasts or anywhere that you listen to your podcasts. So be kind to yourself. Be good to yourself. Join my Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community if you haven't already done so. It is a community full of people just like you who are wanting to free themselves from dieting and toxic relationship to food and create harmony with yourself, your life, and with food so you can be liberated. Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community, join me there. Have a great week. I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.